First night, so we have a lot of things to overcome. Probably we have to bring the amp and the, no, I mean the, to amplify the sound, little speaker or monitor something. Okay. All right, folks, turn your Bible with me to Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. No, make it 20. You don't have a Bible? Don't? Well, then share with them. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. Are you there yet? Chapter 9, verse 20. Okay, let's start. In my opinion, the biggest difficulty of understanding the biblical prophecy is comprehending the symbols and numbers that mentioned in the prophecies. I think that's the biggest problem. When the people read the symbols, they say, what does this mean? And what does this number mean? So, and then there is a people who are confused on top of it is that some of the off-the-wall scholars. Can you hear me in the back? And some of the off-the-wall scholars coming up with this personal revelation they were given by so-called, they said, supposedly so-called Jesus came to them at night. And they told them exclusively, and that's why they have a special insight. I have an answer for that kind of thing. It's something to do with the enchilada they had the night before. Because revelation is being given, not revelations. So there is not any more left. Insight, yes, but not personal revelation from Jesus to any one particular Bible teacher. As I said before, Book of Revelation is an open book. All we have to do is just study it. I told you many times what's the best way to study the Bible? Using what? Bible. Using Bible as a commentary. Two ways to do it is, number one, using cross-reference. Number two is staying in the context. If you stay out of context, you can make your own cult. And if you don't use cross-reference, you wouldn't have any... There's your knee, Barbara. There's a leg, the table legs. Whole pulpit moved. Anyway, so we have to stay in the context and we have to use a cross-reference. Some of you guys, you have a Bible, has a little margin in the middle. Or some of you have on the side. There's a bunch of verses mentioned. That's the cross-reference verses. If you like to use more exhausted and more in-depth cross-reference, use Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. How many of you guys have that in your library? If you don't have a Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, you're missing out the greatest jewel in the man can have. Treasury of Scripture Knowledge is, I believe we have it in the bookstore, or some of you have a Bible software, it should have it in there. It mentioned about just about any kinds of cross-reference that is mentioned can be known in this particular that particular verse. For example, we read the verse 20. While I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Several verses can be cross-referenced from here for. Saying that, like a praying and confessing sin and Israel and the Lord, supplication, holy mountain, so on. You will find several verses mentioned in the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. That is why this particular reference book is very important. Here's the portion of the Bible. Why don't you grab a chair and sit next to Leo? Here's a portion of the scripture that is undoubtedly the backbone of the biblical prophecy. In my opinion, this is the most important prophecy that talks about Jesus and Israel and Antichrist. It not only covered what happened during the time of Daniel, and goes all the way to the time of Jesus, and all the way to what is going to happen during the time of tribulation. And to learn this properly, to understand this prophecy properly, we have to go literal translation, literal interpretation. So we will use a lot of scripture verses that connecting with this one. We'll start at the verse 20, and we will have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, our hearts open, our Bibles open to receive your wisdom and insight. Don't let it fall into another notch on our Bible belt that we can boast about, but let us learn from you that how faithful you are, how detailed you are, and you're all-powerful, all-knowing God. And then turn around, we will bring this good news of Jesus Christ to the other people that they may have the same privilege being in heaven with us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 20, now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord our my God for the holy mountain of my God. Verse 21, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of evening offering. You might want to underline evening offering and put the time 3:00 afternoon. Because the new day start in Israel, new day start at the 6:00 p.m. So to them, evening sacrifice offered at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. We have to stay in the context to understand this scripture. So we have to go back to what we studied last time. Remember, in 538 B.C., Daniel was praying that time. Because how do we know that Daniel was praying in 538 B.C.? Because when we go back to at the beginning of the chapter 9, let's go back there quickly. The first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. Yeah, try to pronounce that name. The first year of the dynasty of Darius is the 538 B.C. So it's relatively easy for us to find out the exact timeline. 538 B.C., he was observed that while he was praying and he was studying from the book of Jeremiah, that the Daniel find out that the time of this exile in the kingdom of Babylon is about to be expired. As a matter of fact, 3 years left. How long they're supposed to be out in exile? And you guys remember how long they're supposed to be in exile? 70 years. Why the 70 years? Because according to Levitical law, God told the Israeli people, you are supposed to give a land 1 year rest after 6 years using it. Every seventh year, you're supposed to leave the land alone and use another land. So if you had the land this much, and you're supposed to use this much land for 6 years, or half of land is 6 years, and not another kind of rotation. So give a rest enough for the one land to get the fertilizer back itself. Same concept. Exactly, he created the heaven and earth and everything in between, including human, for 6 days, and the seventh day, he rest. Why did he do that? Because he needed rest? No, he was making an example to us. So he was telling these Jewish people to rest the land. And then, you know, another main point is, during the time when they rest their land, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to trust God. God to provide enough food for the last 6 years and to provide that one another year. However, these people didn't trust God, so they used the land all the time. They didn't rotate. They didn't do anything other than just using land for 6 years, 7 years straight every year. For how long? 490 years. So how many sabbatical years been missed? Divided by seven, 70 years. That's the reason why the God kicked them out of the land for 70 years. You disobedient, you don't rest the land, okay, you're gone for 70 years. In other words, God get his way no matter what, right? So remember how many times I told you, and I have to remind myself, you try to fight against God and you're trying to get your way, guess who lose? We lose. So that's has to be in the back of our mind. And Daniel is, while Daniel is praying, this man, or the, should we say angel, Gabriel, showed up in human form. This is the only one of the few places it mentioned in the Bible talking about angel flying. We'll continue in verse 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have a new come forth to give. I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. Not word, a skill to understand. That means how to understand the vision that he's about to give. And what beginning of the, your supplication and command went out, I have come to tell you, for you are greatly loved. Underline, you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Notice how fast Daniel's prayer was mentioned, answered. When we read Daniel's prayer from verse, at the beginning of this, verse 8, to here, it takes about 3 minutes. In other words, within 3 minutes, his prayer has been answered. And some people, some of you and I would say, well, because Daniel is God's pet. You know, God's pet gets special privilege. I don't believe so. There is no God's pet. He answers our prayer same way. And but you may say, well, then how come I get answer? Wait. Well, that's your answer. Just like my answer for the selling home is wait. And turned out to be a good thing. Because another extension. And I'm glad that we didn't sell our home in June. Crimey. We'll be finding another place to stay. Huh? Well, yeah, garage. Let's go to Isaiah 65. Keep your finger right there. Isaiah 65. Isaiah is located right before Jeremiah in the New Testament, Old Testament. I don't think you can find it in the New Testament. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Isaiah 65, between Jeremiah and, Song of Solomon's. Isaiah 65, Song of Solomon's. You there yet, Kenan? No. Isaiah 65. It's right before Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. 65:24. Okay. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. This is what God's speaking. Before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. Who's they? God's pet? No. Anybody. Any believers. And you may say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, I'm glad you're thinking that way. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Matthew is located in the first gospel of the New Testament. Don't laugh at Kenan, because when I was at here. Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. Chapter 6, verse 8. When I was at his age, I didn't know which one is the Bible. So. Chapter 6, verse 8 of Matthew. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. So God answers our prayer. Yes, no, and then the one we don't like, hate. We hate. Wait. Another thing we must notice is what Gabriel said, called Daniel, I asked you on the line, you are greatly beloved. Again, some of you saying, well, because he's godly. I'm not. So God wouldn't call me beloved. Well, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Go back in the New Testament, right at between Galatians and Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. Okay? You there? Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of glory of His grace by which He has made us accept in the beloved. We are His beloved. Not because we are such a good looking. I know some of you qualify that. Some of us will never be able to qualify that. But has nothing to do with what we can do, but what Jesus did on the cross. So that is the most important thing. We are beloved of God because through Jesus Christ. Let's go back to chapter 9, verse 24 in Daniel. Back to Daniel 9:24. There's six things that mentioned here. 70 weeks. Underline weeks, please. That's very important. 70 weeks. Are determined for your people and for your holy city. Number one, to finish the transgression. Number two, to make an end of sins. Number three, to make a reconciliation for iniquity. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, to seal up vision and the prophecy. And number six, to anoint the most holy. Understanding the word week, this week, some of you, for example, if you have a King James, New King James, New American Standard Version, it will say week or weeks. If you have an NIV, New International Version, it will say it's a seventh. Which one is correct? Both of them. The original Hebrew word is Shabuah, S-H-A-B-U-A, Shabuah. What is the Shabuah means? It's a measure of unit. How can we understand? For example, how about dozens? When I say, I have a dozen of that, how many think you I have? 12. Even though I said dozen. And if I say, I have a half dozen of that, we all know what the meaning of dozen is. So if you ask the ancient Jewish people, I have a week, what does it mean? It's not a seven-day week. It means seven. So this meaning, 70 weeks are determined. That means 70 sevens. That's not 77. 70 sevens. In other words, 70 times 7. Exactly 490. 490 was determined for your people and your holy city. So with that in mind, we have to think of one more thing. So let's not just go with the Jewish custom, but let's go by how do we know it according to staying in context. Before this mention in the book of Daniel, Daniel was studying the book of what? Jeremiah, right? And he was just studied how many years they've been exiled. 70 years. How the 70 years been come out from 490 years, non-sabbatical year? Every 77th year has been divided, right? As Kenan said at the beginning, How many days God used to create the earth? 6 days. And seventh day, he rest. So the unit was a seven, correct? And how many years God said you can use the land? 6 years. And then seventh year, rest. And every 50th year become a year of jubilee. That's time they literally take off to nothing and celebrate goodness of God. So everything is hinged on seventh. So when you read this in context, it's a natural for Jewish people mind and the people who have right mindset and staying in the context to understand this is seven. 77th. You understand with me? You follow? No, you don't follow? You have to tell me honestly. Otherwise, I'll explain all over. Okay, during this Daniel's 490 years. Remember, Jeremiah's 490 years, they disobeyed God. So they got exiled for 70 years. You with me so far? That from that moment, from there, there will be 490 years. This is what he's talking about. During this 490 year span, six aims had to be achieved. Six goals had to be achieved. That's what I asked you on the line and put the numbers in. First one is to finish the transgression. Number two is to make an end of sin. Number three is to make reconciliation for iniquities. First three of them have a connection with the sins of Israeli people. However, number four and number five and number six, they mentioned to bring the everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecies, and to anoint the most holy has everything to do with the millennium and God's righteousness. Okay, with that in mind, let's continue. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Okay, so that's not a 7 days, weeks, but it's a unit seven. So seven sevens, 49 exactly, and 62 weeks. In other words, 62 sevens. And then after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, and not for himself. Underline that, please. Messiah shall be cut off, and not for himself. And underline next phrase. The people of Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with the flood. Note the word flood, please. And till the end of the world, desolation are determined. Gabriel is telling Daniel that there would be three divisions. First one is a seven sevens, 49 years. And the second one is a 42 sevens, which is 62 sevens, 434 years. And the last one is 1 7. That would be 7 years. So let's start at one thing at a time. Very small? You cannot see? Sorry. Next time I'll make it big. We'll get used to it. This. The starting is 445 BC. What is 445 BC? That's the time King Artaxerxes, on 20th year of his reign, he gave a commandment to rebuild the Jerusalem, city of Jerusalem. And some of you young people thinking, oh, okay, what this got to do with us? Everything got to do with your faith. If you don't know how this happened, and you have no idea where you're going with the Jesus Christ prophecy. 445 BC, that's the reign when the King Artaxerxes gave the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem. That's the when he remembered King Nehemiah, who was cupbearer. Remember when we studied Nehemiah? He's the one who got the permission from King Artaxerxes and to rebuild the Jerusalem wall. And not only the wall, also Holy Temple, and Ezra got involved. Nehemiah got involved, all of that. So that's the start of that. From the 445, if you add 49 years, you have, of course, we're backtracking because it's a B.C., you'll end up in 397 B.C. That's the last written Old Testament, Malachi. And from the end of Malachi's the writing, the scripture, there's a 400 years gap. Literally, God becomes silent. He didn't talk to the people until Jesus came to the world. Until Jesus came to the world and started his own ministry and around the age 30. So from that time all the way to here, that's 69 weeks. 69 sevens, which translates to 434 years. Remember, weeks is seven. I'm sorry, six. If you include the 49 years in the, from the beginning. So, exactly, 49 plus 434 years, all together become 483 years, correct? Now, how do you know that that is important date? The time when the proclamation was given to the people by the King Artaxerxes is in the month of Nisan. It's spelled N-I-S-A-N. It's not the same kind of brand name, the car for Nissan. That's N-I-S-S-A-N. When you time 483 years times 360 days, because each day, each year contains 360 days. And you're thinking, Pastor, you're wrong, 365 days. No, I'm right. You're wrong this time. Because in Jewish year, it's a lunar year. Lunar year does not have 365 days in a year, but 360 days. They just didn't calculate. That's why it's a lunar. And that's why they have to pull back the several days at a time. Now, sola is more correct. Because of lunar year, so we time calculate that 483 times 360 equal 173,380 days. So you calculate from the day King Artaxerxes made the proclamation. If you calculate it from that day, it goes all the way to the April 4th, 3280. April 4th, 3280. Do you know what day was this, what's so special about that day? Jesus entered Jerusalem on his donkey, riding on his donkey on Palm Sunday Road from the Mount Olive toward Jerusalem. And he was accepting the praise of man. Hosanna, son of David, save us now. And they were praising him as a Messiah. Until now, he said, do not say anything to other people about what his identity was. But when he was entering to Jerusalem, he accepted praise as Messiah. So what I'm saying is that God's prophecy is matching exact to the date. So if you're a history buff, go back to which day King Artaxerxes made a proclamation. And you count, backtrack 173,380 days. It will drop in April 6, 3280. You're talking about extreme accurate prophecy. I should underline two things. Messiah shall be cut off and not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. After 69 weeks or the 483 years, there's an indefinite length of time. Can you see better? No? All right, sorry. I'll make it bigger next time. Okay, from the crucifixion of Jesus is a triumphal entry. About a week later, not even a week, yeah, a week later, Jesus got crucified. From that moment, that is a church age. When the Jesus paid our sacrifice with his body for our sins, that is a church starting, and to the we are in the church age. Now, between that time, two things have to happen. Number one is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Number two is the holy city had to be destroyed. Roman general Titus was sent by Roman emperor to destroy the city. He came and he destroyed not only the city, he also destroyed the temple. And, of course, they burned the whole temple by drunken soldier and because the ornament of the gold was surrounding the roof of the temple was melting and going down to the crack of the stone. They literally pushed all the stones away to retrieve the gold. Remember what Jesus predicted? None of this stone will be in place. Talking about holy temple. Exactly fulfilled. That was a 70-80. That had to be, two of them have to be fulfilled. During this church age, that's where we are in and until the time of rapture. So far, we had 49 sevens, and then 62 sevens, which is 434 years, and now we have 17 years left. That's going to start with the rapture. So third division would be the one talking about the 1 week, and we'll find it in verse 7. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many on 1 week. Note the word he, underline he, and then note, write a word, Antichrist, the Antichrist. But in the middle of the week, that means if a week is a 7 years, that means 3.5 years in the past of this time, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. The final 7 years completed in this 490 years period that Angel Gabriel mentioned. Starting with the 49 years, 434 years, and then now 7 years. Here's a rapture, and that is a tribulation start. As we went studied the book of Revelation, some of people believe the pan-tribulation theory. Some of people believe the mid-tribulation theory. Some people believe the post-tribulation theory. Just in case you don't understand the meaning of it, pan is... They don't know when, but somehow it will rapture will happen during the time of tribulation somewhere, panning out somewhere. And some people believe that right that smack them in the middle of the tribulation. So that's why they said mid-tribulation. Pan-tribulation, you cannot, if you have any knowledge for the Bible, you cannot come up with the right theory for that one. And some people say that it's a mid-tribulation. If that's the case, it's right smack dab in the middle of it. And let's say you hear that some Antichrist is going into the Jewish temple and putting himself as a god, then that's the day of Jesus coming. Right? That's a mid-tribulation theory. That, so it doesn't work because we are not supposed to know the day of hours of rapture. And post-tribulation also doesn't work. Because somebody, this Antichrist going into the temple and set his image as God, you count that day from there, from the 3.5 years, that will be the end of tribulation. So you know when the Jesus is coming too. A simple mind, I have a simple mind, I don't see any other way except pre-tribulation. Folks, the reason is because God wants us to watch and pray, be occupied. If you know when the rapture is going to happen, exact date, if you're like me and wicked as I am, I would go do all the bad things and in the last few days, I will clean myself up, ready to go to heaven. Wouldn't you? Run up the credit card all the way to the maximum and let somebody else pay for it? That's the mentality of us. Don't look at me like you wouldn't do it. You would do the exact same thing. So, you have to understand this tribulation and the rapture time exactly. Otherwise, your eschatology goes out the window. During this time, as I said, right after rapture and 3.5 years, that's the abomination of desolation was happen. Now, what is the abomination of desolation? Remember, Antiochus Epiphany, the Syrian king, came into the holy temple during the time of Jewish people, and he cut the Jewish the pig and spread the blood all over the temple, and even made the Jewish priest to eat the pork, right? That is a desolation. But that is nothing more than foreshadowing Antichrist desolation and abomination. Another thing what this king, General Titus did on 70-80, another foreshadow. That is the time, the dividing, when the Jewish people realize that they are the ones who've been fooled. All this time they've been waiting for the Messiah to come. All of a sudden they realize this is not the one who is the real Messiah is. The Messiah is already came. Then they realize Jesus is already came and now they're going to believe Jesus. From that time, the Antichrist will persecute the Jewish people more than ever before. Until that time, he promised the Jewish people that we will have a peace. From chapter 11 and chapter 12 of the book of Daniel, we're going to touch the current event quite a bit because Gog and Magog, and especially what's happening in the current Israel with the Hezbollah. Just for the preview, Hezbollah means party of God. Do you know that? Party of God. That's the party. Party of God. It means party of God is started by the Khomeini, you know, the Iranian dictator. He's the one who started. They have one goal, to destroy Israel. Some of you might thought, well, Hezbollah just don't like Israeli people. No, they don't. It's not just don't like, they despise, they want to kill them. Is there any such a thing as radical Muslims? Let me ask you a question. Is there any such a thing as radical Muslims? No, there's no radical Muslims. They are all radical. To be Muslim, you have to hate Jews. You have to hate Americans. They call it infidel. Anyone who side the Jewish people are infidel. To be a Muslim, they said, well, it's a peacekeeping and peace-loving religion. No, it's not. If you read the Quran, it literally said, kill the Jews and infidel. Where do you find here in the Bible, kill the enemy? Do you find it says, kill the enemy? According to the Bible, it says, love the enemy. If we talk bad about the Muslim on the air, I'll be so slammed. But if they talk bad about the Christianity, well, so what? Let's make three applications. Can you see that? From now on, I'll make it that big. God is the master of details. Some of you young people thinking, why did you let us stay this boring class instead of go there to have fun without my friends? If you don't understand the prophecy, if you don't know how detailed God is, how accurate God is, you cannot defend your belief. You understand? Not just young people. The rest of us, same. Remember the word apologetic. You're not apologizing to anyone. This coming from the defense of truth. How you're going to defend your truth, how you're going to defend your faith, unless you know what's going to happen. You know, I'm not much of a mystery novel reader because I start from the back. I like to know who killed whom. Then I go back to the front. That's why I don't mind watching the football game with just summary of the, okay, who won. And I like to see who catch the, what kinds, you know, interception or all of that stuff. I don't want to wait entire 5 hours thing. Yeah, that's true too. So, I like to know the end, especially when I know that our side is winning. Folks, you got to know how to defend your faith. Without this prophecy, you really cannot defend your faith. God is master of the details. Second, God deals in specifics. When Daniel asked for prayer specific things, God answered the specific things. Don't just say, well, bless the missionary. Which one? Which missionary? How? If you really don't know, then ask for God's will in that particular area. Third thing, God keeps his promise. You know, nowadays we have to write 40-page document for one purchase. Any of you guys remember the recent purchase of your vehicle? Or how about signing the contract for your home? I have that thick paperwork. And all of them are written in single space, 6-point size with the double column. It's written by lawyers, which means I have no idea what they're talking about. They say, sign here. I signed it. Probably says, I'm going to kill you. I say, okay. Unless it's written in blood, it's not going anywhere. And even if it's written in blood, you know, written in by the attorney, the other side attorney still will find a loophole. God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, well, I know I said what I said, but I'm going to find a loophole so I don't have to keep that promise. What God says, God keeps it. If God says, I will give you peace that passes all men's understanding, that means he will. God said, I'm going to provide you all your need according to your riches and glory, he will. Let me put it in one single term. If he doesn't provide you what you need according to his riches and glory, and if he doesn't give you the peace, all of a sudden his name goes down the drain. Do you think he would do that when he kept all the promise all this time? He won't. I'm going to share with you the neat story which I happened to find out this morning. About 3 years ago, when I was a little bit over 3 years ago, when we started the church, you know, sometimes I daydream, and I asked the Lord. I have a friend of mine who was a first Calvary pastor, and he no longer pastored a church because his church pretty much shut down because Robert Ford came in, and his church just went ballistic and become big. And this guy's raised church dwindled down to nothing. Anyway, he's such a good guy. He's the printer. You remember the bulletin we use? It's printed by him. He and I worked together for 15 years. And he had a quintuple bypass surgery for his heart. In other words, he can never find the insurance company who will insure him for his heart. And even if he can find it, it would be ungodly price. And he was self-employed, just like any small business owner. So I thought, well, if you make our church big, we'll put him on the step so I can give him the health insurance. About 6 months ago, he got hired by Robert Ford as assistant pastor. I thought, there goes my prayer request. Well, I guess you're not going to answer that. As you know, I'm making a transition from being a staff of Robert Ford of Calvary Tucson to being a contractor. That means when they need a service for the graphic design, I provide them. That means I no longer get the health insurance. That's a good motivation for me to make a health insurance plan for nationwide Calvary Chapel. So I'm working on that thing. And I thought, Robert, do you want to join this program? He said, oh, yeah, we're thinking about it. It dawned to me while I was talking with Ray this morning. Actually, he's going to get the benefit from the insurance plan I'm working on. Do you get it? I thought, if you let me provide the health insurance plan for my friend, that'd be great. He's not my employee, but I am providing him a health insurance plan. God's way is better than ours. God doesn't see the one thing like at a time like we do. He sees everything. And I was rejoicing this morning. Not because I'm the one who is providing 1100 Calvary Chapel with the health insurance, but because God answered my prayer, even silly prayer request that I made. God is that good. God is that detailed. God keeps what he promised. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word, the backbone of the biblical prophecy. What a great God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. Let us continue to get to know you through the word of God, your word, that we may be able to defend what we believe and bring others to Christ so that they may have eternal life in you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.